Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of The Woke Bros. Of course, I'm your co-host, Big Waz, a.k.a. Wazzy Lambray, and I'm joined by my brother, my partner, on the west side of Los Angeles. What's going on, Nando?
Doing all right, man. Can't complain. You know, living the dream out here. How about you, baby?
Of course, same old same. We're here. We're chilling. Cannot complain about it, man. On today's show, a big victory in Brazil. Lula da Silva back again somehow, president of Brazil. We're going to talk about why that's just a huge deal, a huge victory for the left. Like, there's no other way to paint that. Kind of crazy when you think about the journey from this guy doing two terms, then becoming a political prisoner, getting out and winning again. This is a movie. So we're going to talk about that. But first, man, we want to talk about something that I don't think is getting a lot of press right now in the news, but is a pretty big deal. The Supreme Court is about to hear a case about affirmative action and whether to strike it down. It's so funny. It's coming from a conservative group and a group that professes to represent the interests of Asian American students at large. And, you know, it's based on this idea that Harvard and other elite institutions during their admissions process, they excluded Asians. They discriminated against Asians. And, you know, to artificially make their campuses and stuff like that more diverse. And it's just a whole bunch of stuff, Nando. And it's, I think there's a lot of stuff here that is right in line with things that we talk about every single day in terms of like these race-based programs and who the benefits actually accrue to. We can talk about that. But I think the spicy part here is this idea that they've, these conservatives have figured out like, no, let's get Asians on board here to make our case more diverse. And I think that's the spiciest element to it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting because I think like when people think of affirmative action, the way it's implemented, I think is indicative of like what you said, a lot of the stuff we talk about on this program. I'm just going to read a couple stats to you really quickly. 71% of Harvard's Black and Hispanic students come from wealthy backgrounds. Mm-hmm. You know, they are the beneficiaries of affirmative action. Just a little more. First and second generation African immigrants, despite constituting only about 10% of the U.S. Black population, make up 41% of all Black students in the Ivy League. Right. So, you know, obviously the intention of affirmative action was to help the descendants, of, like the Black descendants of slaves, right? Like the victims of American, you know, the American slave trade and things like that. But the way it works in practice, because it's purely race-based and not economics-based, you know, the son of the Ghanaian ambassador to the United States, for example, is benefiting from affirmative action over the kid who grew up, you know, in Compton or whatever. And I think that just shows the limits of the political imagination that a lot of this liberal worldview has, you know, that, you know, if you just diversify from a superficial level rather than from an economic level, you'll achieve liberation. And I think like the results speak for themselves. Like affirmative action has not led to a meaningful benefit to the majority of the people it's purported to help. It's obviously helped some people and, you know, on a very narrow kind of margin. But, you know, on the whole, the program is not something that, you know, liberated the oppressed Black minority in this country, you know, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. And I think that's the most important thing here. I think if this is affirmative action, as it was supposed to work, was like this thing that targeted the most neediest of all Black people. And because, again, it's supposed to address the historical inequities that the country has put upon Black people. I think, yeah, we would be all for it, right? But as it stands now, it's just a way for elite institutions to market themselves as multicultural. And that's to both the students who attend and their parents, right? And, you know, I don't know how important that is, right? And another thing about it that becomes problematic is like, do we really want to get in? I think Jay Kang, former Woke Bros guest, does a good job of this. Do we really want to get into the weeds of parsing the levels of Black oppression? Like, no, you're from, you know, all Nigerian immigrants who were well off, blah, blah, blah. We don't need to help you. You're from this type of Black person. Like, I don't even know that we want to be getting into the weeds with that. Yeah. And like, to my mind, this stuff is really the problems of really well-off, fortunate people. Most colleges and universities let in most of the kids that apply to them. You can have a great experience. You can get a pretty good education at most of them. I think the affordability of this stuff is becoming problematic. But like, as far as affirmative action and shit like Harvard and University of Michigan and other sort of elite institutions, I just, you know, I don't think that's, this is a thing.
Again, yeah, like if you really want to help oppressed minorities in this country or oppressed people anywhere, you know, things like Medicare for All, broad-based social programs, you know, even Medicare itself, Social Security, these broad-based social programs that benefit all people, both are not only, you know, the actual things that will uplift people out of poverty and oppression, but also the most durable politically. Right. You know, affirmative action is going to die because there is no one defending affirmative action. You know, there's no coalition to defend affirmative action. There's no one whose self-interest on a mass level depends on defending from affirmative action. Therefore, it eventually becomes a target of the right wing. And it's an easy defeat, you know, an easy defeat. Whereas privatizing Social Security, which has been a dream of Democrats and Republicans for 30 years, somehow doesn't happen. Because there is a broad-based social political block that is self-interested in defending it, therefore will defend it tooth and nail. You know what I mean? I think it's just a lesson in basic political efficacy, but also in what real emancipation looks like. An increase in the minimum wage, and you know, things that just benefit a broad swath of the population. You know, giant cash transfers from the rich to the poor, whether that's in the form of Social Security or some sort of, government benefit for other things. Like if there was a child care benefit, like if you just got a check in the mail from the government, you know, $1,000 if you have a kid, you know what I mean? Every month type of thing, you know what I mean? Like that would be just an unbelievably popular program that would be very difficult to dismantle because there would be this huge coalition of people who would fight to defend it. Things like affirmative action, which saw the path towards, you know, escaping poverty through an elite education, that's just not how that works.
That's not viable for a large group of people.
Exactly. All it does is reinforce inequalities, right? Mm-hmm. If everyone went to Harvard, then Harvard would stop being special, you know? That's just the reality of it.
And we had Bert Cooper on, and he talked about this months ago when he was on the program, just this idea that the benefits of these race-based programs accrue to the people who have the means to access those benefits, right? Who are able to go out and they know how to do it. They know how to play the game. They're of the culture of these elite institutions, and they can win. You know, like they can win, they can get it right. They can achieve all of the sort of what is asked of you. You know the answer is going in because you are of those institutions. Like you might be a third and fourth generation college student, right? Who's a Black person. You know, if you come out of that, it's going to be much easier for you to access this minority sort of race-based program kind of stuff. And normal people, they don't have access to this stuff and they're not going to win that way. And while, you know, I understand why a lot of people are going to be hurt to see affirmative action fall, I think in the broader sense, I don't know that this, again, actually I do know, this was not helping a wide swath of, you know, disaffected people.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, yeah, I think the message here is clear. Affirmative action sort of stopped doing the job that it was intended to do a while ago. Sucks that, you know, the way that it's happening, I understand the parties that are involved, especially this one guy, I forget his name right now, who was behind the Shelby County getting voting rights turned. Basically, you know, him being the guy that's spearheading this, I understand why people get upset by it. But you know, this thing wasn't doing the job of the people on the ground, man. It was doing the job of the work of the elites. And yeah, I don't know that we should be too, you know, bent out of shape about it, but let's move on, man, to legitimate good news in the world of the left. Man, Lula da Silva, he takes down Bolsonaro, who he tried to do his little Trump thing of, I'm not conceding, blah, blah, blah. But he's already put in the mechanisms to abdicate the presidency, and he's moving on. And Lula's about to be president again. Of course, man, rest in peace. Shout out to my brother, Michael Brooks, who, if not for him, I know for a fact, me, myself, personally, I would not be so plugged in to what is happening in Brazil, particularly with Lula's brand of leftism. And so to see this guy again win, bring tens of millions of Brazilians out of poverty in his two terms in office over there in Brazil, get out, go to jail, be jailed by his political opponents, get out, and then win again. This is beautiful, yeah. Nando.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I mean, you know, it's been said before, and you know, our brother Michael would always talk about this, and that Lula da Silva is probably the greatest politician of our lifetime, certainly, you know, easily. I mean, I mean, beyond beating Bolsonaro in this election, 2 years removed from sitting in a fucking prison cell, okay? You know, think about that for a second. Lula da Silva is probably the person that is most responsible for bringing down Brazil's military dictatorship. You know, Brazil had a military dictatorship from 1954 through the mid-80s. It officially ended in 1989, kind of started ending in the mid-80s. But in the late 70s, you know, Lula emerged as the leader of the trade union movement that was the forefront of opposing the military dictatorship. Lula is an uneducated factory worker from northeastern Brazil. You know, he does not come from the power centers of Brazil, Rio de Janeiro and Sao Paulo. He comes from the northeast. He was a factory worker. I think he worked in an auto plant. He lost his finger. He's missing a finger, but he got cut off in an auto plant. Emerged as a really heroic union leader that led, organized a series of wildcat strikes against like a corrupt union leadership that really mobilized the entire country. It's just like a remarkable political story. And then in the early 2000s, became president of Brazil. I believe Brazil is the third largest democracy in the world after India and the United States. It's a huge country. It's over 200 million people. There's more people in Brazil than the rest of South America combined. He became president of Brazil and led this remarkable transformation in which he just lifted millions of people out of poverty by basically giving them money. You know, simple, broad-based social programs like we were talking about. He, you know, instituted some taxes and then just instituted like a benefit for the poor. They put money in their pockets, you know? And he was brought down in a really bullshit scandal, quote unquote, sent to jail in just like a really heinous, just fucking bullshit. Like some fucking, they claimed that he got like a free renovation on an apartment that was like, and even that, like, it's like, come on. You know, it was just
and,
a pure
hack. And
you know,
some of the stuff that was going on in American press about Lula da Silva's like, oh, this guy's corrupt, this blah, 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 blah. And again, it leaves out the part where he did the legitimate work of lifting tens of millions of Brazilians out of poverty. It's like, no, in Brazil, that's just doing business. Like, that's the cost of doing business. You might have to pay off some corrupt bureaucrat or whatever so that you can go about doing the business of the people. Sometimes that's just how it works, you know. You talk about, I think about stuff, and we've talked about it on the show, stuff like the Teamsters, where you talk, they would say, oh, the Teamsters, they'd smear them and be like, these motherfuckers are mobbed up, they're thugs, and they're this, and they're that, and leave out the part where it's like, no, the bosses were the first to call thugs on union workers trying to picket, trying to strike, trying to get better deals for themselves. They're the one trying to get in the way of scabs. They're, the bosses called the goons in first. And the union was like, yo, how do we sort of, you know, fight against this? And they bring the mob in. It's, I think it's sort of the same idea there. You know what I mean? Where
You get no points from the referee in the sky for playing clean.
Exactly.
It's about power, you know? It's about power and exercising power. And like you said, in Brazil and in America, like don't not like pretend this is like some fucking, you know, some fucking like, you know, third world shit. Like in America, patronage systems are how you exercise power. Certain people control patronage systems that you gotta, you know, the money's gotta flow in order to make certain things happen. I think like, if you look at the Democratic Party, they used to have these political machines that that are essentially patronage systems that, you know, were a way to rally votes. And often it was by delivering concrete benefits to certain people. They saw that as corruption. I mean, right now, the Democratic Party consultant class is the machine. You know, that is the grift. You got to pay those people off. We don't call that corruption. But if you want to be if you want to be in power in Democratic Party politics, you got to pay off a whole lot of people. How do they do it? They just basically hire them as consultant, pay them millions of dollars.
To do no work.
To buy some fucking ads on TV, to produce like the most boring ads in the fucking universe. You know, like and you know, that's the grift. That's we don't call that corruption, but that's the same thing. Is that like you need to grease some hands in order to exercise power. To be like kind of pure about that, you're just never gonna achieve it. So Lula, again, Lula, the reason that Lula is such a political genius and really like a one-of-a-kind type of guy is that he is able to keep his eye on the ball of power while still maintaining enough of a social conscience and a sort of ideological rigor to make people's lives better. To be frank, because there's you know, you could be perfectly, you know, you can have perfect politics or perfect ideology, but then, you know, once you're faced with the realities of exercising power, you know, those two things often come in conflict and you got to be able to navigate that. Lula, and what often happens is people get into politics with like good intentions. Like I'm thinking of that guy, Kevin De Leon in LA, you know, who was on that racist, you know, apparently when he was young, he was like this like fire, like, you know what I mean? Then he got in there and he became a corrupt asshole. And he's like a, you know, he's like just, and that's a very easy process to happen too. So to sort of get your hands dirty enough to be able to exercise power to lift people's lives better while still maintaining a certain modicum of a social conscience and a long-term vision and staying true to yourself without losing yourself in the weeds of that shit is unbelievably difficult. Most people can't do it. Lula is able to do it better than almost anyone else.
Man, So beautifully said. You know, I think the last thing that I want to hit on with this is, like, I think a lot of times we fall into the trap of assigning meaning, a broader meaning to individual events. But is there anything to be gleaned from this? Like, what does it, what's the meaning of this for Lula to come back and take the presidency from Brazil's elites again?
Well, I mean, I think one of the reasons, it's actually, I think one of the reasons why he was able to come back, or part of his political maneuvering, is that he actually had quite a bit of support from the ultra elites. Because the ultra elites, I think Bolsonaro, they just lost confidence in him. You know what I mean? That he was just so comically inept that even the elites kind of lost confidence in him, and they remember Lula. Like, life is pretty good for them under Lula. As mad as he made them, you know, like, the money was flowing pretty nicely as well. So Lula has crafted this kind of coalition of, like, working class people, especially in certain parts of the country, like the Northeast and in the urban centers, plus, like, the elite. It's the rural people that really supported Bolsonaro, and the suburbs is where Bolsonarismo is really strong. And also near the Amazon, ironically, is where Bolsonaro is incredibly strong, which is counterintuitive, but it also makes kind of sense. You know, those, you know, extracting, you know, resources from the Amazon is what's going to make those people their livelihood, you know. But I think there are kind of lessons to be learned, both in terms of the power of this kind of revanchist far right is definitely stronger than we'd like. Bolsonaro got way closer than would be comfortable. I mean, it was a fucking tight election. Mm-hmm. You know, despite his comically inept handling of COVID, despite he himself getting COVID like 12 times, you know? And he got really close. And this phenomenon that I'm talking about rich people plus kind of like a certain type of working class people in the cities voting kind of progressive, whereas people in rural centers and the suburbs, you know, middle classes, but also poor people in the rural areas, voting like insane far right, you know, happens in the United States, happens in Europe. It's happening kind of everywhere. So there's definitely something more structural going on. And then the other big thing is that Lula is the kind of crown jewel, in a way, of what's an emerging kind of left-wing resurgence in Latin America. The left is on the retreat everywhere in the world. Everywhere, the left is being just crushed everywhere, except in Latin America. They won Brazil, they control Argentina, control Bolivia, they lost in Ecuador, won in Peru, although he's in trouble, that guy. Won in Colombia, which is an insane far-right country forever. Mm-hmm. Never won, a left-wing president never won, obviously Cuba. And Honduras, you know, has and plus, don't forget Mexico, AMLO. So, you know, the largest economies in Latin America are Brazil and Mexico, both controlled by kind of, you know, pretty based left wing, you know, political operators. Dude, fucking AMLO, I was talking about it in the live show, the Ben Burgess show. AMLO, you know, he's on his like last year in office. Dude has a 66% approval rating.
That's incredible. I don't
Despite,
think we'll
like,
ever
constant attacks from fucking the elite, the media, everyone fucking hates him.
Do you think when will we see another president in America get 66% approval rating?
It seems unthinkable now.
It seems impossible. I'm sure things changed.
Yeah.
But like, goddamn, dude.
You need someone that you need. It only happens when someone delivers the goods for working people.
Yeah.
You know, what
there I mean? You go. The message endures. Man, thank you, Nando, of course, as always. Shouts to everybody. Check out the Patreon, man. We're bringing some new stuff to that, the OG shows. Make sure you're checking out the newer content that we're bringing to Patreon, of course. That's patreon.com/countthedings. Check out all of our other Count the Dings offerings. That's for $5 a month, essentially, man. A cup of Starbucks a month. Go support us on Patreon. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.